3, 2. Hello everyone, this is Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, and your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, May 13th. It's about 8 p.m. Central Time here in the United States. Folks, Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, and Stalingrad. It's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our liberty, our property, our freedom, and our rights. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. And that's during our live broadcast, which will probably be between 8 and 9 o'clock Central Time here in the United States on Sunday evening, May 13th. Otherwise, call after hours, call area code 903-551-2186. You may leave a voice message or, of course, email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you to get educated, to go to my friend's website, Andy, to www.mytwocentsonline.com. That's my 2 cents, and the two, by the way, is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com. Lots of interesting information about our economic system and about economics and finance. Andy's a brilliant guy. He's plain spoken, and he makes you understand, he helps you understand what is going on. Please visit his website. Right now, we are waiting for Mr. Daniel Imperato to call. He is our guest speaker this evening. Mr. Imperato is the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States. He was interviewed by Liberty Talk Radio on February 25th, but as an independent. His views, in my opinion, were not strictly libertarian, so it would be interesting to see if there were any changes in his platform whatsoever. And I'm interested to know what made him take the plunge, quite a change. So he went from an independent to a libertarian. I'm excited. I think he's a tremendous person. He's got a tremendous amount of energy. He's sharp. He's successful. And he sure can do this country a lot of good. So I do hope that he took the libertarian, he's taking the libertarian path seriously, and that he is very successful. I asked him to call in a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, just so that we would have time for our station identification, and to remind everyone to please call during our broadcast. And listen, if you're listening in, you can call at any time, and we'll interrupt the broadcast and take your calls. And just call 646-652-4620. It is now about 4 minutes after 8, and he is past due. I hope he does call in. 646-652-4620. This week has been an exciting week. This morning I heard on an interview on C-SPAN, I guess it was C-SPAN, Bernard Goldberg and his book, I had it committed to remember. I know the title of his book about the left has gone crazy and the right, you know, the left the nuts and the right has gone wimpy and or something like that. And he had a very, very interesting interview on the fact that we are really not tackling the issues And he makes a lot of common sense. And I wish I had written down the exact title of his book. I do intend to get it. I do intend to read it. He is very, very interesting. I don't agree, like most people, I don't agree with his stance on everything. But I do agree with him philosophically as to where we are and maybe and what the primary problems are and why we're not tackling them. He used to be a liberal, plain old-fashioned liberal, which is not the same as a plain old-fashioned liberal today. And then he became a plain old-fashioned conservative, not a neoconservative. And I think he gave up both camps. He is very close, in my opinion, to being a libertarian. I wish I could sit down and, in fact, I'd love to have him on the program because there really are just a couple of issues I'd like to take exception to. I won't get into that now. All right, I'm still waiting for Mr. Imperato to call. Please, Dan, give us a call. We are waiting for you to call, Mr. Imperato. Okay, while we're waiting, I had some email here. I got some very complimentary email. I don't like to read those things because it's something like I'm tooting my own horn here. And he says, I've been listening to your call segment that you did with Andy Sutton this evening. That was the one in which I called Andy and I was his guest. And I'm not sure or whether or not this is the one where this evening, the 10th, let's see, this is the third. Yeah, that's where I called Andy and I was his guest, actually. That's to Andy from mytwocentsonline.com. And he says, I'm a close friend with Andy, have contributed to his show and commentary as much as possible. I am the contributor to CJS. I am the contributor. CJH. There was one thing that really stood out to me. It was a reference to the Republican debate in Ron Paul. Then you went to an analogy of the guy with the dollar and the two vendors. I was trying to explain the process of inflation, that it had nothing to do with high prices. High prices was a result of inflating our money supply. Inflation means we inflate the money supply. We don't inflate the wages. If there's no more money out there, if the money that is outstanding or among everyone is the same, you cannot raise prices. One person could raise prices, but that means someplace else they have to lower prices because there just ain't any more money out there. Now, you can argue, well, they'll use credit, but that can be, but the credit has to be paid back. And you can't keep on ratcheting that up. You just ratchet yourself to oblivion, and it just doesn't work that way. In fact, it is the amount of money that's being circulated. And, of course, that continues to increase. That's why we continue to have inflation. He says, I have to say that this was totally right on par with the things that Andy and I have been discussing. Actually, quite a few months ago, possibly back in last fall, Andy and I had gotten together when I was in town at my favorite pub, and he told me the story of the game that he played. He did a good job of explaining that on the radio. It was a lot better than my example. He said, I'm looking forward to checking out your website and some of your views. Possibly in future, Andy will have both of us to do a roundtable discussion. Keep up the good work. Chris H. in Maryland. Thank you very much, Chris, for that email. I appreciate that. I appreciate those comments. Folks, there just are not enough people out there who think. In my introduction, I have... In my introduction, I'm trying to see if there's any phones. No, the phone is not lit up. Hello. I'm not sure if we are stuck. We are stuck, ladies and gentlemen. I think our line is down. I think our line is down. This is terrible. Hold on a second. No, our phone line is open. I wish someone would call in so I can test out my phone line. My phone line is on. Somehow, we are going to boot something up here and see what happens. Okay, here we go. Hello, you're on the air. Dan, is that you? Hello?
No, could you... Hello, can you call his number? Because this is his assistant.
Oh, this is Joe Cristiano at Liberty Talk Radio. I'm sorry, we had a glitch in our computer system, and everything went down for about 5 minutes, and I guess just at the same time that Mr. Imperato tried to call.
Okay, I'll let him call back then.
Yes, please have him call. Let me. I have another call here. Let me see who that is. Hello, you're on the air. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Dan?
Joe.
Yeah, Dan,
yes,
is this...
Joe.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? I've been trying for about 10 minutes for you.
Dan, you would not believe... This never has happened before, but the entire server went down, everything went down, and I have three of these big computer screens in front of me,
and they're all flashing... I heard the great introduction you made for me. Thank you. God bless you. Let's get on the show.
Okay. But I did want to explain. And everything looked fine until I noticed that on one of the screens, everything was stopped.
Don't give the devil credit. Forget him.
Okay. Very good. Then what I really am interested in, well, why don't we start off with this? Since we spoke in February, how has your campaign been going? And if you can quantify that for us or qualify that for us, tell us how things have been going for you.
Actually, things are going great. I heard you make the comment about the Libertarian and what had happened and
yes.
why I'm running on the Libertarian ticket. Well, I began my campaign, as you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. I traveled the world doing analysis pertaining to all the things going on around the world, all the hot spots, Israel and Palestine and Iraq and Brazil and Mexico and the immigrants. And after studying all the external problems around the world, I realized that unconditionally I have the ability to run the country and to be a good representative for the people of the United States of America, much better than the leadership we have today and what we had yesterday.
Okay.
After that, I decided that I would. Are you with me, Joe?
Yeah, I sure am. Please, yes.
I decided that I would run as an independent, so I started to look at the ballot access process, because if you don't have ballot access, running as a candidate's a waste of time.
Correct.
So when I studied the ballot access, it was going to cost about $10 million to get the ballot access, and then I hired Ross Perot's lawyer, Matt Sawyer,
yep.
to do my ballot access study, and then after doing that, I realized that with McCain-Feingold bill, and then after that study, we realized that they changed the primaries, which made it almost impossible for an independent to get on the ballot. So I
right.
studied the Reform Party. I went to their convention. I tried my best to try to organize the party, but unfortunately, they're still living in the past and living on the Ross Perot's day, and they're still crying about the fact that I can't remember. He milked Pat Buchanan, milked him for about $12 million, and left him in a legal suit. So I was sitting at my desk one day, and I said to myself, you know, if I can't get ballot access, I don't feel comfortable representing myself as a candidate and raising money for my campaign. So I was sitting there, and I got a phone call, and somebody mentioned to me the Libertarian Party. So I went up to Orlando, and I spoke at the Libertarian Party, and little did I know, I thought I was going to this group of little people, and it was a small party. And when I got there, I realized that they were very conservative, that they're all about shrinking government, that they're all about protecting the documents of democracy. And I was shocked. It was almost like finding God. I found this the best kept secret in this country is the Libertarian Party.
You're absolutely correct.
I then furthered of course, the people at the convention, well, you know, you're not Libertarian. Well, what I said to them, I says, look, I am an independent candidate, and I came up here to speak. I like what I see. I would like to try to embrace the party, put my arms around it. So I had some eye surgery, and I studied for 2 weeks while I was recovering. A lot of the Libertarian books and Ayn Rand and Brown and all the people, and
right.
I realized that the party has a mixture of purists and reformists, and the reform people are new Libertarians wanting to make the party a serious party and the purists are more interested in defending the philosophy of libertarianism. So I decided that I start to study the ballot access of Libertarian Party. They've got ballot access in 26 states. They say that they'll get 45 states, and maybe with my help, both financially and with my legal help, maybe we'll get the 50 states. So when I realized that the guy upstairs provided me a party to be able to get ballot access, I decided to take a trip around the country. Over the last 2 months, I have gone to just about every libertarian national convention, not national, but the state convention, and I have been embracing the party, and I think that while we have, of course, a new libertarian, myself, which is somebody who is in the process of being what I would call sandpapered and also being pruned because it's a new party for me, but what I found is a great party with great morals, great principles. True, some of the radicalism and some of the old purists and some of the things that the party had stood for in principle, although they may be correct, but the problem is the party needs 33% of America's vote in order to win the White House seat.
That is correct.
So I have decided to try to persuade the Libertarian Party and the chairs, and I was in Manchester, New Hampshire, now I'm overlooking the city of Boston, and I had a great meeting up in New Hampshire, and they embraced me very well, and it looks like the Libertarian Party and its chairs may, in fact, be ready for a real serious candidate that can win the White House seat, that has the ability, the knowledge, the strength, and the fact is the Libertarian Party's principles of downsizing government and protecting the documents of democracy, my CFO told me, Danny, that any person I know that's a Libertarian, it's you. So I was born a Libertarian, didn't even know I was a Libertarian, knew nothing about the Libertarian Party. So guess what? I'm the greatest spokesman they can ever have because I was born in Boston. I grew up a Democrat with the Kennedys. I traveled the world for 30 years. I got into the Florida scene with the Bushes. I helped George Bush, and I did it because I didn't want Kerry to get in because I was against Kerry's philosophy. And the fact of the matter is here I am. I found the Libertarian Party, and the fact is I can stand up and tell everybody in the United States of America they owe it to themselves to come to know the Libertarian Party, to open up the door, to read what it's about, because it's the greatest kept secret in this country. So what I've done is I've started now a 33 million person electronic march on the Internet. It's called an e-march. It's 33 million people. I'm asking 33 million people to make a contribution of $1 each. $1 each. I feel that the United States of America and its people, the non-voters, which can go on my voter registration site to sign up to vote and to register to vote, and the voters, if they realize that the last presidential election, there was 100 million people who voted in this country. So I figure in order to win the White House seat, I need one-third of the vote. 33 million people, all I want them to do is contribute $1. I figure for each dollar, it's a vote. Because even if I spend all the money in the world, if I'm the richest man in the world and I can spend all the money in the world like Ross Perot did, if you don't have the people behind you, you can't win the White House seat. So I figure this, 33 million people, $1 each puts me in the White House. So I'm on a campaign to find 33 million Americans that'll put $1 up to take a leap in faith, to open the door to the Libertarian Party, and to give Imperato for President 2008 a chance to be a servant for the people, represent the people all the time, every time, protect the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and our democracy, and to shrink government, which is completely out of control. We're all getting approximately 60% of our paycheck is being eaten. Why? The Democrats and the Republicans and the government over the last many, many, many years have basically abused the documents of democracy. They have put more tax and spend, more tax and spend, and at the end of the day, not one of the politicians in the White House care about the people of the United States of America because they're politicians. They were brought up with spoon-fed in their mouth. They know exactly what to tell the people, but when they get to the government, all they do is tax and spend. So it's over. Imperato's here now. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to yell loud and clear, and I'm going to get 33 million American people to put $1 on the table to represent each vote that will vote for Imperato for president, so that when it comes May, which is the Libertarian Convention to select their candidate, I hope and pray, God willing, that I will have so many new Libertarian members that the party will look and say, this man has done great things for our party, he's a great spokesman for our party, and if they select me as their candidate, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I believe I will be the next president of the United States of America based upon we the people.
Okay, hallelujah. That's great. Dan, you have my dollar. How do I send you my dollar?
You can go on my website at www.imperato2008.com.
Okay.
You can do it through a credit card or you can send it by check. You can do it either way. But the fact of the matter is, 33 million people, America, you owe yourself a chance for $1 to take a leap in faith. Open the door to Imperato for president. Look at the libertarian principles and morals and what we want to do with this country. We want to protect the people and bring back our forefathers' principles and bring back and revive this country and bring the morals and principles that we've lost over the last years. We have to do it, America. It's our duty.
Right. Dan, if you abide by and you hold true to the basic libertarian principles, this station will be behind you 100%, and I'll be on the air every day promoting your campaign if that's what it takes. Fair enough?
I only can tell you this, Joe. My name is Imperato. I have been known around the world for 30 years. My father's known. My grandfather's known. I'm a man of my word. I deliver like dominoes. I'm not for sale. My word is my bond. And I can tell you straight, the libertarian principles and the documents of democracy and the Bible are the three books that I will follow word for word, document by document. I will not sway. I will follow the rules. I didn't write the books. They've already been written. All I can say is I will follow the rules. And I will not make decisions for the American people based upon a party affiliation. I will make it based upon what's best for the people of the United States of America. And what's best for the people is to follow the original rules of what our forefathers wrote and to follow the libertarian principles and to defend the documents of democracy. I don't have to teach the people. All they have to do is open up the books and read.
Okay.
And the problem that we have in this country, Joe, and it's a big, big, big problem that nobody's looking at. The United States of America, after my trip around the United States of America, I am completely floored at the fact that if you go to Columbus, Ohio, you're going to find a big pocket of Yemen people, of Eritrea people. If you go to Minnesota, you're going to find a big, big following of Ethiopian people. If you go to California, if you go to the Eastern California, you're going to find all the Iranian people. This country is so diverse in its population. There are so many people in this country from foreign lands that don't vote, because they don't care. They've never been educated on our democracy. They have no clue what our democracy is all about. And if there's one thing I can ask, every foreigner that came into the United States of America to be a citizen of this great country, do yourself a favor, and I can say it in Kifhala Khabibi, I can say Manishma, I can say Bonasena, I can say Komasas, I can speak in several languages, open up the books and the documents of democracy and the Libertarian Party principles, and help me restore America, the country that you came here for, because what you came here for is being taken apart through government expansion, through tax and spend, and through a false promise to the people that this is a free country, this is a country of liberty. It isn't anymore, and we need to get back to the principles, and I need your help.
Okay, Dan, let me read to you the statement of principle of the Libertarian Party and tell me whether or not you agree with this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says this: we hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives and have the right to live in whatever manner they choose, so long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal right of others to live in whatever manner they choose. Now, that's a very broad statement, but tell me how that's...
Well, I can tell you this. I've studied it, I've eaten it, I've talked about it, and I can tell you, I agree with it, I'm 100% for it, but I also can tell you there's a little bit of a confusion and there's a little bit of a hole in the Libertarian Party, or an oxymoron. The problem is that the words at the end of your statement, as long as it doesn't affect another human being by force or affect another human being, this is the issue. The problem we have is what the Libertarian Party principles and the statement that you made unconditionally is 100% right. Go to your home, do what you want, live the way you want, bear arms, have fun, do drugs if you want, do whatever you want to do in your home behind closed doors. But don't do it in front of children. Don't affect somebody else that's in a situation where it's not healthy or good for that other person. And it's fine. But the problem is, and I asked the Libertarian, I asked somebody at the Libertarian Convention, I want to ask the Libertarian people about this specific statement, because there's a disconnect between medical marijuana and legalization of marijuana. And I said this in a conference in one of the states. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. If you legalize marijuana, which I have no problem with, it's basically legal in California medically anyway. It's legal in Amsterdam. It's people smoking anyway. It doesn't do half the damage that alcohol does for you.
Right.
So the issue isn't the marijuana, but the question I have is, if I, Daniel Imperato, running the United States of America as a president of this country, and I sit on the television and light up, are you going to be happy with the president lighting up? Are you going to be happy with your surgeon going out the door in between surgery, taking a toke and coming back in and doing brain surgery on you? So the fact of the matter is, as long as it doesn't affect somebody else.
Yeah, it doesn't forcibly, it's right. It doesn't affect, that's right. Absolutely correct. Now, obviously, if you're a brain surgeon and you're smoking something which may affect your ability to perform, then that does interfere with the life of someone else. So
okay, so
yeah.
hold on, because this is my only oxymoron that I have found that I haven't been able to get a clear explanation on. Because the fact of the matter is, the Libertarian Party says as long as it doesn't affect somebody. So the question is, if you affect somebody, like you just said, what's the penalty?
Well, no, the wording is it does not forcibly interfere. Let me read that again.
Yeah,
just 1 second.
Forcibly
it says here.
Interfere.
It says as long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal rights of others, Now, when a person goes to a surgeon, for example, they expect the surgeon to be sober, right? So you don't have to talk
Correct.
About marijuana. You can talk about alcohol, talk about anything at all. Right. And when you go to a surgeon, that surgeon has a reputation. And, of course, you know, some doctors don't do very well. I mean, there's very few that are bad, but there are some bad doctors like anything else. So you want to go to a doctor who, you know, is not drunk, for example, while he's performing brain surgery. So that's the responsibility.
Without a doubt, but you know, when you're drunk, it's easier. You can test it. It's
right.
easier to
yeah.
smell.
But the principle is the same, Dan. You see, so it's anyone can smoke whatever the heck they want. I mean, whenever they want. But if you knew, for example, that now the AMA, I'm sure, has some guidelines, and they're a private organization. And if they find out that a particular surgeon has been coming into the the operating room under the influence of alcohol, that guy would be, you know, removed very quietly, but be removed.
100%.
Right. So there is always a risk, but there is some self-regulation. And I think what the libertarian principle is saying
is... This is where I bring it to the next step for the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party, when I become president of the United States, the first thing that I will try my best to do is to bring back, besides shrinking government, besides cutting down the fact that I don't want an entourage costing me $2 million or costing the taxpayers $2 million every time I walk out of the White House.
Right, exactly what it costs. Right, exactly.
That's government abuse.
Right.
But before that, there's one big little word. It's called education. And our education system has gone down, and no matter what we do in this country, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Social Security, abolish it, keep it, give an option for it, whether it's health care, whatever the issue is, if you don't have a phenomenal educational process to give the people the education necessary, like, for instance, if you want to invest in the stock market and you want to manage your own money, well, you better know well about the stock market, because I lost a lot of money in it because I didn't know well about it because I wasn't educated when I was a kid.
Yeah, I've had the same problems, so did you.
The fact is that one thing that I will stand strong as can be is education. We are failing.
Dan, if you want to strengthen education, why don't you privatize the whole damn thing and get rid of all the 2/3 of the education budget right now goes to bureaucracy that holds everybody back. Why not get rid of all of government schooling and just have it all privatized, just like anything else, and have the school systems compete?
You're right. I can tell you, you're right. The government's not only ruined education, it's ruined Social Security, it's ruined health care, because it's a bureaucracy, and nobody wants to draw the line in the sand. Nobody wants to take the risk to stand out and say, I'm going to fix it, because they don't want to lose their job, they don't want to lose their special interest groups. Nobody has, I hate to say it, nobody has the you-know-what I'm talking about to draw a line in the sand and say, look, the party is over. What? We need unconditional change, and the people in this country are being denied so many things because the government abuse is eating up the money, taking food off the tables, taking education out of the children, taking health care from the people, because they're spending and eating and spending and eating and spending. As far as the education system, I've already started the U.S. education system. It's an online educational portal that I am putting together out of my free will from Inspirato Foundation, my foundation, which is to give education for free. It's an educational portal which will have classes donated from every university in the country, a magnitude, multitude, and diverse contribution of one course from each school, which will be put on an educational class, which will have a certificate for accredited schooling, and anybody that can't afford to go to school, they can go online and they can get schooling and get a certificate from the U.S. education system free of charge, because we can do it. It's so easy when you say, you know, no child left at home. Poppycock.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is we have the telecommunications technology and ability, number one, to shrink government down by easily, without doubt, hands down, 50%, if not 70%, overnight, because we've got the communications, telecommunications capability to shrink the government overnight.
And you know, Dan, we also have the people, the dedicated people, but these people are working under a bureaucracy that is tying their hands, and we're losing the very best of them.
Well, let's face it. We don't want to stand here as Americans and make a revolution with our government because we're Americans.
Let me stop you right there.
Let me finish. The fact of the matter is, that we are not telling any lie. We are just being honest, telling the truth, that there's a problem in the system. It's broken, and it has to be fixed. It's not because we're putting down or we're assaulting our government. No, it's black and white. It's wrong. It doesn't work. It needs to be fixed.
But Dan, let me go one step further. Why not assault the government? I mean, we're not assaulting the Constitution or the flag. We're assaulting something, a bureaucracy that has enslaved all of its people, lied to its people, cheated its people. Why not assault a government that has been abusive as it's been? We are revolutionaries. We've always been revolutionaries, and we stopped being revolutionaries since World War II, and that's been our downfall.
But I'll tell you why. First of all, you get further with honey than you do with sour cream.
No, I agree with that, but I'm just saying revolutionaries in thought.
Well, let me explain to you. In order for the Libertarian Party or any third party to even consider rectifying the problems in this country, that, by the way, it's black and white. It's not, in other words, all we have to do is put a pen and a paper. We can show fact to our leaders that we're in trouble. We're a bankrupt country. Our education system's down the toilet. We have no health care system. The Social Security system's out of control. The spending's out of control. So it's not like we're lying. It's fact. But the key here is, and this is where I'm strong with the Libertarian Party, and I'm trying to explain to them, they got 0.25% of the vote, and they raised only $1 million for their party. And the candidate that they picked, a gentleman by the name of Mike Badnarik, last time.
Yes.
With all due respect, he's a nice man. God bless him. I never met him.
He's a brilliant guy.
But he couldn't ever, in his wildest dreams, have the ability, knowledge, strength to run this country, to be able to win friends around the world, to be able to bring back the light in this country and the leadership in this country. And more than that, even if I became president under the Libertarian Party tomorrow morning, I still have to have the strength, the wisdom, and the ability to convince the Congress, the senators, and the legislators that they're doing it wrong, this is why, here it is, and I'm going to need the support of the entire people in the United States of America so that I can prove to them that if the system is broken and it's wrong.
All right.
And the problem is, unless you get a presidential candidate or a president that, number one, has a street smart, number two, has a strength, number two, has the charisma, number four, understands the world because America's a global community today, and number five is going to have the you-know-what gall to lay the law and say, look, black and white, this doesn't make sense, it's broken, it doesn't work, and we're going to fix it. And it's going to take a real strong, powerful, charismatic man to be able to do this because it's not going to be easy. We are in a very big trouble, this country, and the people don't even realize it. We're bleeding, and bleeding at the seams.
Right.
And it's got to stop.
Well, Dan, you're going to have to go to the people because if you went to the Congress, they wouldn't move you. There's too much money influence there, and you can be right as rain, but it's not going to make a damn bit of difference to them. They're going to continue to follow the money, and you're going to have to go directly to the people, and then the people are going to have to vote all these people right out of office. The only person that I know of that you're not going to have any trouble with is probably the Congressman Ron Paul from Texas. He's on your side.
Am I going to have a problem with him?
No, not at all. I mean, he's probably the only one that you can speak to like this. All the rest are looking over their shoulder and said, I wonder if I'm going to lose any money out of this deal.
Well, the fact of the matter is, look, I'm going to just say a couple of things. Number one, let's talk about a couple of different issues here.
Yeah.
Number one, 9/11. 9/11 happened. Two family names are responsible more than anybody else in this country for 9/11. Those two names are Clinton and Giuliani. Why? 1993, Abdul Rahman came into New York, bombed the towers. Clinton was president, and Giuliani was mayor. They did nothing about it. They didn't protect the city of New York. They didn't do the proper investigations in New York. They didn't get the resources pertaining to where the terrorists came from. They didn't go into the background of Abdul Rahman. When the CIA and the FBI told President Clinton that there was a problem, it was going to come. These two guys and these two family names, if America votes for these two people, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Wake up, America, because they are responsible for the biggest destruction of our country because they weren't paying attention. Number two, the fact is clear. If you go across this country and you look at all the pockets, you go to New Mexico, you see all the Guatemalans and all the Mexican people, wonderful, nice people. They're there. You go to North Carolina, you see another pocket of South American Guatemalans, and then you go to Florida, you see all the Haitians. Then right. You go to California, you see all the Iranians. If you go around this country, you can see where all the pockets of all the foreigners came in on tourist visas, visit visas, or on school visas. I want to know where the visas are, who stamped off on them, and I want to know what congressman was in charge of the state or what governor that brought in an influx of foreigners from a particular country at a particular time, because I'm willing to bet there's a lot to find out in that line. Right. Because I can't believe that this country is complaining about Mexicans coming over the border, and now they just complained about our border with the people they found that were going to bomb the New Jersey facility there. They weren't Mexican people. The fact of the matter is this country has, the eyes have been closed. If there are 12 million illegal aliens, and I don't like them calling them aliens, they're human beings. If they're illegal in this country, 12 million coming from South America, I'll bet nickels to dollars that there's another 12 million from every other country in the world here that are also illegal.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Okay, and we're not doing anything about it. And the fact of the matter is if this government and this president and this next government, if it's not me, God willing, I hope it's me. The fact of the matter is if they don't watch out, you know what's going to happen here? You're going to have civil war here.
That's
why?
Right. That's right.
Because the president of the United States of America, what were the two biggest problems of George Bush and Bill Clinton? Two problems. Number one problem, no foreign experience. They knew nothing when they became president about the culture, the religion, the morals, the principles, the Quran, the Torah, the Bible, the food. They know nothing. They didn't travel the world for 30 years. They didn't spend their own money doing it, so they had no knowledge. George Bush became president. He had a spoon fed. He was a baby, a cucky, they call him. He came in. He inherited a problem from Bill Clinton, and sorry to tell you, he dropped the ball because he had no foreign experience, and we got sucked in to this terrible war, which isn't even a war, and we can get into that, but why? Why? Because, number one, both of them had no foreign experience, period. And number two, they had no education about foreign nationals, about foreign countries, and guess what? I can tell you right now on open radio, Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, and I can tell you this fact, they made a call to all of the expats of Iran, and they gave a $50,000 bill to every Iranian living outside Iran. And they said, if you take the $50,000 bill and America dares to come to our country and to bomb us, we want all of the expats to retaliate against American interests around the world. And our government doesn't even know it. I know it because I have people on the street. I know exactly what's going on. And the situation that we have right now in our hands is so dangerous for us, dangerous for our economy. We are in the verge. We have been sucked into the biggest vacuum that this country has ever been sucked into. And the American people have to wake up. They need a leader. They need a person that's going to protect them, because these leaders have not protected the interests of the United States of America and its people. They've protected the interests of special interest groups.
Right.
They've protected the interests of foreign countries. They've invested money because they got people to come here, and there's all kinds of, I believe, all kinds of games with immigrations in every state. And the problem is, the President of the United States, both Bill Clinton and George Bush, never took the time to study the people coming into this country, and for the last 100 years, but more so 30 years, since the Panama Canal, since the peanut man, Jimmy Carter, they've been letting our country go downhill. And it's got to stop, or we're going to be a third world.
Dan, do you agree, subscribe to the proposition that the reason why so many people hate us around the world is not because we're free? There are freer countries than the United States right now. It's not because we're free. It's because we impose our will. In other words, we take our finger and we poke it right in their eye, and we force them to do what we want them to do. We have about 20 bases all around the Middle East. We have soldiers there. We keep on invading those countries. We support regimes there that are repressive. And I mean, to me, I say, well, why? My question is, why wouldn't they hate us, I guess? Would not the answer be to get the hell out and stop meddling in foreign affairs and take care of our own and just trade with these people? You know, utilize what they do best and they utilize what we do best on an equal basis. Why can't we treat everyone else like equals instead of like subjects?
Well, let me. This is a great question. I could probably talk to you about each one of the subjects at length without a problem, but to sum it up, number one, I am tired of spending money on foreign countries that have natural resources. They have more money than we do.
Mexico has
China,
more natural resources than
India,
we do. Yeah, right.
Africa. You know, you look at Africa, oh, feed the African people. Oh, feed the Indians. Guess what? They got more money in the ground. Why don't they take it out and feed them themselves? Why? Because this country has never had a leader that would stand up and say, it's time that the people help America. Buy our products. Help America. Give me money instead of me give you money.
Right.
Number two.
Right.
The problem in the Middle East is a deep-rooted problem. And it has to do with, first of all, the reason why you say that they hate us, first of all, they don't hate us. They hate the government, and they hate George Bush.
Agree. Right, that's what I meant. Right, okay.
That's the people. Huh?
Right, correct.
But the government and the government people, 22 countries in the Arab League, the majority of those countries love George Bush. You know why? Because George Bush is putting a wedge in between the Shia and the Sunni, because they don't want the Shia controlling the Middle East, and I don't blame them, because they're of suppression, they don't give women's rights, and they're a sect of their own. Even the Quran, which is the Quran, which is the biblical book for the Muslim world, even the Quran that don't follow, they have their own Quran. So Saudi Arabia sucks in America, and Bin Laden was a Sunni from Saudi Arabia. I know the whole family. And the fact of the matter is Saudi Arabia doesn't want the Shias to come. Saudi Arabia wants the oil in Iraq because they're running out of their own. And Houston wants to broker all the oil that comes out of the ground all over the world, so they make all the money. And the fact of the matter is, 22 countries in the Arab League, the majority of them wanted the United States to go where they are, to be in Iraq, for two reasons. Number one, as long as they keep spending money, America, and bleeding our citizens, they keep getting business, weapons, business, drugs, money, it keeps the machine going. That's why they don't want us to leave, right, because we've been sucked in, and we've been sucked in good. Number two, which is the real point, is because there's a small little country that belongs to the Messiah. It's called Israel. And Israel, biblically, is not supposed to be cut. And the fact of the matter is that Bill Clinton was the first president to give land to Yasser Arafat, and that's why Monica Lewinsky came in the White House, because Bill Clinton took his eye off the ball, and he got what he deserved. But now, the reason why we're in Iraq and we're in Afghanistan, but more so Iraq, is because the Arab world wants America to have a base in that part of the world for one reason and one reason only, other than the oil and the reconstruction. The principal reason is because as long as America has a base, powerful base of its own in the Middle East, then they can put a wedge between Israel and the U.S., and the Arabs can say, you don't need to help Israel anymore. You have your own base here in the Middle East, and we love you for it. We want to help you, America. But on the backside, they're saying, well, if we let the Americans stay here, we can get a wedge so Israel's not as strong and being the only partner to America in the region.
Yeah, I'd say.
So there's a deep-rooted situation here. And by the way, the Israelis and the Jews and the Muslims get along all day long. They do business every day. I'm in business with all of them.
I know. I agree. Yeah, I understand that.
It's a whole hogwash. Okay.
Right.
The fact is that groups like Hamas and Nasrallah and Hezbollah and the groups like Al Qaeda, what they did and where America was sleeping, they took two things. One, they pristine the children. They wean the children like you'd feed a child milk. The fact is when these children were born, the majority of their fathers, because they were from the Arab culture, they had two and three wives, and they were out traveling, and they were never around. So these kids grew up with no father. So these criminals, like a Bin Laden, became the father figure to these children 20 years ago. And they fed them milk, and they gave them clothes. Hezbollah gave them money, and Hamas gave them money. The money came from where? America. America gave the PLO $400 million a year. America. And where did the money come from? From Bin Laden. The money came from the poppy fields. America let the poppy fields grow.
Right.
America knew where Bin Laden was long time ago because Bin Laden worked. He was in the training camps of ours. The fact is, 20 years of training these children who came out at age 6 or age 5, age 6, age 7, they're now 25 years old, and they've trained them to be terrorists, anti-American, anti-Zion, because these people we're talking about are sick, they're fundamentalists, there's a group of them, and the only way we're going to stop these people, it's not by war in Iraq, because there's no war in Iraq.
Right,
it's
great.
It's by ceasefire, pull back our troops, don't pull out the troops, pull back the troops, increase the strength of our muscles, show the region that we're not running with our tail and our wings, but we're not going to kill any more people. And by the way, we want a deal with Iraq, with Maliki, that pays back the American taxpayers $1 trillion with discounted oil for the next 20 years.
Okay, all right.
when the Maliki government says, Mr. Imperado, we will pay back your American people, and we appreciate your ceasefire. Then and only then, they come back to my people in America and say, look, they paid us back the money. We're here in a ceasefire. Now what are we going to do? Now, the question is, the Shias and the Sunnis, what if they stop fighting? I mean, just think. The only thing George Bush has to do, I wish I could see him in front of his face, because I wish I could see him right in front of his face. They want me to... The only thing he has to do right now, today, is call a ceasefire. And guess what? America stops losing soldiers, stop spending a lot of money, and go back to the drawing board. You know, we haven't taken a breath for how long now? $1 trillion in almost 5 years? Doesn't it make sense that, look, if you don't want to pull the troops out, you can't get along with the Democrats, and you don't know what the hell to do, why don't you just cease fire and see what happens?
That's right. You can't lose anything, can you? I mean, you can't lose much ground because we've lost all the ground anyway.
And by the way, I was just watching the TV on a special. How would you feel, and I'm going to say two more things, how would you feel, and this is for Iraq, how would you feel if military people came in your home with their guns and their uniforms on? Wouldn't you defend yourself?
Sure, yeah.
So the majority of the people that are shooting our soldiers, they're not terrorists. They're people that said, hey, get out of my house. Don't invade my property.
Right.
Now, let me tell you the sad thing. What happened in Los Angeles with our police brutally attacking with rubber bullets those immigrants, you know what's going to happen here? Those immigrants are going to go grab weapons, and they're going to go hide in the houses of their family, and this is going to be Iraq.
I know. The violence begets more violence, and it doesn't solve the problem.
And the immigration problem, it's a joke. Let's face it. The American, first of all, these immigrants are driving with no driver's license. They're on the road illegally. They need a driver's license. They need to be tracked. They need to know that they are here illegally. We need to know what their name is, who they are. We need to find out where they are before they all hide, and we can never find them.
Right.
Number two, the fact of the matter is that the American companies, I came from Revere Street, about 20 miles from where I'm looking out the window right now. I ate licorice candy off the ground when I was a little boy. I was poor. I had not a penny in my pocket. I washed the candy, and I said to God, I was an altar boy, please, God, I want to see the world, be a millionaire, and get an education. Little did I know. The fact of the matter is that if I was in Mexico, or in Guatemala, or in Panama, or in any South American, Latin American country, or any Caribbean country, and I was looking at an empty plate of food with no money in my pocket, and all of a sudden I opened up the mail, or I got, luckily, somebody had a phone, and I got a call, And my friend called, hi, Joe, I'm in America. Yeah? Oh, how is it? Oh, I'm here. I'm working for XYZ company. I'm making money. I'm eating. I have a food on the table. Oh, yeah. Can I come over? Yeah? All you have to do is sneak. Okay, I'm coming. These poor people don't even know the difference between sneaking in and not sneaking in because they were so hungry, they came for food. So if the American companies who hired these immigrants, illegally hired them, were dangling a carrot in front of these kids' faces
that's across the border,
they're both responsible.
That's right.
It's not one-sided.
That's correct. That's correct.
So we need change, Joe. We need to revive America. We need to protect the documents of democracy. We need to give freedom back to our people. You know, the jails are full of people that shouldn't even be in jail. The laws have changed. I mean, now they want to take the immigrants. They arrest them. They put them in jail for 1.5 years. Then they send them back. In the meantime, we have no space in jail. It costs $100,000 per head per year for a person in jail. It's ridiculous. Right.
Dan, I have to mention we have only about 30 seconds more. Why don't you give us your wrap-up now, your 30-second wrap-up, and tell us about your campaign, how they can reach you, how they can contribute to your campaign, okay?
Imperado2008.com or Daniel2008.com or WinNow08.com or we got so many websites we don't know what to do with them, but the best one, just Google me, Daniel Imperato, Imperato. Give me a chance, America. Give me your support. I won't let you down. I give you my word.
All right,
defend
Dan,
the documents of democracy. Initiate and defend the principles of liberty and the libertarian principles, and bring back the light to the White House instead of the darkness that's there now. Thank you, Joe. God bless
Dan,
you.
And I'd like
God
to,
bless all the people.
Maybe in about 3 months we'll have you back and see how things are going. How about that? Would you mind?
In 3 months?
Yes.
Or in 3 days?
3 months.
Well, in 3 months it'll take too long. But in the meantime, you said at the beginning of the show, if I gave you my word that I would defend the documents of democracy and do what you said, defend the libertarian principles, you'd talk about it all day long. So are you going to talk about me all day long?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're a man of your word. Now, we'll see who keeps their word.
Okay, Dan.
My word is my bond.
Okay, Dan. Thank you so much. All right. And we'll be talking to you again.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Daniel Imparato. He's got a lot of energy, and he has turned a lot more libertarian than he was when we originally broadcasted. I'm going to play our... We're past due our one-hour segment, but I really do wish Mr. Imparato all the luck in the world. I would like to have him back, maybe not in 3 months, maybe before that, and to discuss some issues, but on, get some specifics, get down to the core of some of the issues, and approach it from a purely libertarian philosophical position to see if, you know, it as a matter of to determine where he's from also, but also as an education process, because I'm sure he's done a lot of reading on the libertarian principles, and I'd like to have one of those discussions with him. I really wish him all the luck in the world. This guy's got the energy, the drive. He certainly is motivated, and he's at least going in the right direction. I mean, I would vote for him in a New York minute, even if I did not agree with every one of the issues on the table with him. If you compare him to what we have right now going for us, you know, in the Republican and Democrat Party, this guy is a shining light compared to the rest of them. Now, in the Libertarian Party, we have some people who are philosophically maybe more libertarian than Dan, but they may not have the resources to attract the voters that Dan has. So, you know, this is an interesting quandary. I hope Dan does take the libertarian principles and continues to study them to see where the fundamental principles come from, how we arrived at them, and so that the decisions that he made can embrace those principles. And I do wish him all the luck in the world. He's a terrific guy, and boy, wouldn't it be great if he was president. Wow. Things would certainly be exciting, and I really wish him all the luck in the world, and I'm anxious to have him back on the program. Okay. Here we go. Here's our bumper song. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. Let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or you can phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. And also, don't forget my friend, Andy Sutton, and his website, www.mytwocentsonline.com, and that, too, is a Roman numeral, too. And look at the financial and economic forecast that he has on his website and the principles that he espouses. Very interesting, very educational. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Now, Daniel Imparato is really taking that to heart, hasn't he? Okay? Until next time, stay well, stay tuned. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Good night.